full-blown, convincing, open-eye hallucinations of all types. Visual, auditory, tactile. I had it all. In fact, the only two symptoms that I didn't have were seizures and death. So, how bad is alcohol withdrawal? Well, in a sense, it's a very stupid question to ask. The goodness or badness of a thing is impossible to measure. It is intrinsically too subjective. Your experience with alcohol withdrawal depends on too many convoluted factors for us to calculate any kind of standard by which you might be able to measure your own experience with it. But we can perhaps do it comparatively. We might be able to look at other types of withdrawal and see where alcohol withdrawal stacks up against them. And then perhaps I can share some of my own experience to give you a sense of what it is like to go through. So, let's get started. Alcohol is an addictive, psychoactive drug. Now, it feels slightly strange to hear it described in those terms, but the truth is, the only thing that separates alcohol from narcotics is the fact that it's legal. Alcohol is legal and narcotics tend to be illegal. That's really the only difference. The fact that alcohol is legal and mostly socially acceptable, and in fact sometimes socially encouraged, is the only thing that differentiates it from an illegal narcotic. But in principle and in effect, it is in no way different from a scheduled drug. The method of action of alcohol is similar to other narcotics, and as a result, the psychoactive effect is largely the same. The end result is directly comparable to the worst kind of street drugs. And like other illegal psychoactive drugs, depending on how much you've consumed and for how long, there is a substantial withdrawal period. I think it's safe to say that a lot of us in the general public at large tend to think that heroin or opioid withdrawal is the worst, in inverted commas. And I think we collectively believe that because heroin and opioid withdrawal has the most representation in media. The movie Trainspotting, for example, has a very clear, very powerful commentary on the withdrawal period for heroin. But nothing like that really exists for alcohol, even though so many more people experience it. As a result of that, we tend to think of heroin and opioid withdrawal as the worst, just because we're not really exposed to other kinds of withdrawal that exist. Especially not alcohol withdrawal. People don't really want to focus on that. But the truth is, a lot of addiction specialists, counselors, medical professionals will, off the record, quietly admit that alcohol withdrawal is the worst of all. And I can believe it. But look, it's not a competition. There is no such thing as a good withdrawal. They all suck. But the difference is, there is no other kind of withdrawal that will kill you besides alcohol. A lot of us know that nicotine withdrawal is very unpleasant, causing irritability and insomnia, amongst much else, as well as very difficult cravings. Cocaine is largely an emotional withdrawal. Lots of anxiety, depression, irritability, and paranoia in cocaine withdrawal. There's a general feeling of discomfort, but it's mostly psychological. It's mostly an emotional withdrawal. It's very unlikely to hospitalize you. Benzodiazepines have a very difficult withdrawal, which is kind of similar to alcohol. Their method of action is relatively similar, and therefore the withdrawal is similar too. And benzos can cause hallucinations and seizures. Opioid withdrawal is often described as an extremely bad case of flu, in which case you're bedridden, where even your bones hurt. And you might even feel like you're dying or that you want to die. Alcohol withdrawal, though, will give you all of those symptoms, all at once, and more. Crazy stuff. Stuff that you don't expect, stuff that people don't talk about very often. Now, if you look up worst things to withdraw from, you'll hit that list that I just mentioned. It's things like nicotine, cocaine, benzodiazepines, opioids, and alcohol. None of those, but alcohol, will kill you when you stop. Alcohol withdrawal, untreated, if you try to white knuckle it, there's a chance you're going to die from it. Lots of people do. It's crazy to me that people die just from stopping. The removal of the addictive substance can kill you. And that's craziness. It's a terrifying thought. I was in my mid-30s the first time it happened to me. So relatively young. And I was in really quite good physical shape. I just finished a round the world cycling trip. I was incredibly fit. And it nearly killed me. I came close. So why is it so bad? Well, how bad your withdrawal is depends on a few major factors. The first is a combination of the volume that you were drinking combined with how long you were drinking it for. If you're a moderate drinker, that is a couple of glasses of wine or a couple of beers most days, I consider that to be a moderate drinker, then your withdrawal period is going to be like a very bad hangover that lasts multiple days. But it won't incapacitate you. You should be okay. So that's the best case scenario. If you're a moderate drinker, quitting for you, it's going to cause you some discomfort because even at low amounts, your body will have developed some kind of neurobiological dependency on alcohol. Your body has become accustomed to operating with alcohol in your bloodstream, affecting your biochemical processes. Alcohol is powerful. It doesn't take much for these changes to happen within you. Now, having a biochemical dependency like the one I just described in moderate drinkers, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have an alcohol use disorder or that you are an alcoholic in the sociocultural sense that we tend to use that term. You may be a perfectly normal, healthy person, but you will still have some dependency on alcohol. Your body will have become acclimated to its presence. So when you stop, there's going to be some kind of withdrawal process from it. But you're going to be okay. Likely you'll experience some fatigue, some irritability, maybe some insomnia, and probably some cravings. That Friday night when you feel like you really need that glass of wine. That's what I'm talking about. That is withdrawal. I suspect, though, if you're watching this video, that moderate drinking is probably not your profile. Am I right? To put some numbers to this, my first experience with acute withdrawal syndrome, or any of the other nebulous nexus of names that this condition is given, along with it delirium tremens, which I've experienced 4 or 5 times, it came after drinking 2 large bottles of vodka or whiskey or gin every day from morning to evening for 5 months. 5 months of waking up drunk and then drinking until nighttime into oblivion. Day in, day out, no breaks. During that period, during which I had no idea that I had developed a problem, it was obvious to everybody but me. During that period, I would be proud of myself if I only drank 1 of those big bottles of hard liquor. That would be like a day off for me. It's crazy how insipid it is and how it warps your rationality. I didn't realize it at the time, but it was pretty bad. And that amount, 5 months of 2 bottles of hard liquor every day for 5 months with no breaks, that was enough to trigger my first experience with acute alcohol withdrawal syndrome. To some of you, that amount is going to sound like a colossal amount, an unsurvivable amount of alcohol. To others watching this, I imagine you probably think those are rookie numbers. Like I said, this is not a competition. And this is all highly subjective. Everybody's experience is going to be different. But that amount, whether you think it's a huge amount or not very much at all, that was enough. 5 months of day in, day out, hard liquor, that was enough to trigger my first experience of acute alcohol withdrawal syndrome and delirium tremens. Now you have to understand that alcohol is a depressant. And for months, I was using it to suppress essentially my central nervous system. Take the alcohol away and suddenly your central nervous system snaps back like an elastic band. It goes into panic mode. Emergency signals are going off in your brain the whole time, and the sudden rush to equalize your various biochemical processes can cause very extreme, dangerous, and unexpected symptoms. Now, I've detailed my experience with alcoholic hallucinosis in a previous video, but it's worth re-emphasizing, I think, that I had it bad. Full-blown delirium tremens, open-eye delusions and hallucinations. The most severe element of alcohol withdrawal is delirium tremens, and I had it, including full-blown, convincing, open-eye hallucinations of all types. Visual, auditory, tactile, you name it. I had it all. In fact, the only two symptoms that I didn't have were seizures and death. Those were the two that I dodged. It came close. And also, in the process of getting sober, I've had a number of relapses, which means I've experienced that withdrawal process a number of times. And the thing that I've learned is that it gets harder every time. Every time you go through it, it's worse. It takes less and it hits harder. And it takes longer to recover. There are a number of known risks that accompany a difficult, acute alcohol withdrawal process. Again, they depend on how much you've been drinking and for how long, and what other damage you've done to your body and whether you've been through the process before. Assuming an extreme case like mine was, withdrawal can involve any combination of the following. Status epilepticus, that is constant, non-stop seizures. Untreated, these seizures alone can cause brain damage and death. As I mentioned, I'm lucky to have never suffered a seizure, even in delirium tremens. From what I read, the majority of people who experience delirium tremens to the extent that I did do experience seizures. And they're very dangerous, untreated. You cannot go through this process alone. Strokes and heart attacks are the most common cause of death for people going through alcohol withdrawal. And as I mentioned in that previous video in passing, where I talked about my experience with hallucinosis, I'm ready to believe that those heart attacks and those strokes may be partially the product of the paralyzing terror that accompanies delirium tremens and that you can expect to experience if your withdrawal is particularly acute. Burst esophageal varices. This is slightly less common, but it means the bursting of the veins in your throat causing internal bleeding and a lot of damage. And there's a likelihood that damage to your liver is making it hard for your blood to clot, which means that once you suffer an internal injury like that, perhaps from the strain of vomiting, the damage can quickly run away with you. It can be exponential. That combined with the sky-high blood pressure that you'll experience as part of withdrawal leads to a lot of fatalities. In fact, that is exactly how Jack Kerouac died, and other famous hard-drinking writers, literary types, died exactly of burst esophageal varices. It was a major factor in their death. And then the inability of their blood to clot due to the cirrhosis of the liver. This is dangerous stuff. Horrible way to die. Then delirium tremens deserves a bullet point on its own. I've talked at length about this and will do again in the future. But for now, it should suffice to say that this will not only cause dangerously high blood pressure, but absolutely paralyzing hallucinations and delusions. Delusions that themselves can drive you to do harm to others and to yourself. For my money, delirium tremens is one of the worst things a person can experience and survive. Just going through it will leave you with lasting trauma. Then there are some more kind of boilerplate problems that come with excessive drinking or an alcohol use disorder and a very difficult withdrawal period. And that can include anemia. You're probably going to be anemic after a very long drinking period. Elevated ammonia levels, they can cause you to lose control of your bodily functions. It's not pretty. And then, of course, you have an elevated or altered liver function, which can have ramifications across all through your body. And then there's a risk of pancreatitis and other sorts of infections and organ damage. But that's largely as a result of the drinking rather than with withdrawal. And we're focusing more on the withdrawal here. And there are just so much more. The depression and the anxiety that you might experience with other kinds of withdrawal, those are present here, but they are the least of it. They are almost afterthoughts to everything else that you're going to go through. Alcohol withdrawal particularly will make you feel close to death. It will give you that sense of impending death at all times as you go through it. You will feel like you want to die. You will make your peace with God. In a life in which I have been close to drowning, been robbed at gunpoint twice, had a number of exotic and tropical viruses and diseases, been stabbed, seen death up close in my hands, spent time in jail in the middle of the desert in Kazakhstan, terrifying experience, any number of other terrible things that I've experienced, traumatic. Acute alcohol withdrawal is the worst of all of it by far. Hopefully I've made the point that alcohol withdrawal is more than having shaky hands and feeling like shit for a few days. My experience of it began 2 days after I quit drinking, 2 days of sobriety in which I thought everything was going to be okay. And then it hit, and it lasted a full week, 7 full days of feeling death's hand on my shoulder. And that's just a detox. After that period, you still have to deal with the fallout of everything that happened while you were in active addiction, while you were drinking. The relationships you ruined, everything that you did, the people you harmed, the harm you did to yourself, the work you missed. Anyone going through it deserves support and sympathy. And it gets worse every time it happens. It gets harder. It gets more vicious. It gets harder to recover every time. So if you're preparing to go through it right now, first of all, good luck. Second, go to the hospital. If you're going through it right now, stop watching this. Just go and walk into an ER or call an ambulance. It's going to be ugly. It's an unpleasant process. They're probably going to put you on a psych ward to detox. It's going to be at least 5 days you're going to miss work. But they're going to keep you alive. Don't try to white knuckle it. It doesn't work. You're going to put yourself through unnecessary suffering. And definitely don't do it alone. You need someone around you should you slip into a seizure or should you lose consciousness for any reason at all. You need someone around. You need someone to be aware, someone checking in on you. But go to a hospital. That's where they know how to handle these things. But I can't promise you it's going to be easy. Not for a while.